And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 150. Indeed, and as always, my name is Tom Harris, and I'm coming at you from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And we're not doing anything particularly special this week. You know, I thought about, well, you know, is 150 really that big a deal? Do we really want to celebrate it? You know, we like round numbers around here, and I felt that certainly we should acknowledge 150. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a milestone, a kind of a mini milestone. But of course, 200 is going to be the big celebration. So anyway, we are going to just kind of have a normal show this week, as we always do. Now, this week, we're going to be wrapping up for now our exploration of Thor, God of Thunder, until the next storyline is over and we can kind of go and cover it in its entirety. And we have a nice little one-off issue here featuring young Thor. And then next week, we're going to be shifting gears a bit. And some time ago, I did a survey on the Facebook group and saying, you know, what would people like us to cover? And one of the top choices, of course, was to catch up on Thor, God of Thunder, which we've kind of done, sort of. And then the second choice was to go back to the 1980s. We're going to be going back to the Ron Frenz, Tom DeFalco era of Thor. Don't know how many story arcs we're going to cover, but we're going to be there for a few weeks anyway and start getting into some of that stuff because, you know, people seem to want to hear it. And, you know, of course, we're planning on covering it anyway. So, you know, why not? All right. So as they say, without any further ado, let's just go ahead and get right to it. And on with the review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
And this week we'll be covering Thor, God of Thunder, number 18. This issue has a cover date of March of 2014, retail for $3.99. Cover artist by Esad Rebic, doing his very best to channel Frank Frazetta, showing young Thor, axe in hand, facing off against a suspiciously rubbery-looking dragon. it looks a bit plasticky, I have to say, but otherwise, very, very nice work here from Esad Rebic on the cover. And we open up to the splash page where we have Thor waking up inside what looks like the very toothy mouth of a dragon. And there are voices coming from beyond these big sharp teeth that we see and kind of muffled voices.
Is he dead? I think he's dead. Poke him with your spear.
Where the bleh?
He's not dead. He just puked himself.
Thor, get up.
I'm trying, says Thor with a donk.
it says donk.
Ah, blasted my head. Why can I not move? And why it is so damn dark?
It's not dark. It's morning. Crawl out and you'll see.
Yeah, so I guess he starts crawling and somebody says,
you're going to want to crawl in the opposite direction.
Where in the depths of hell am I? The last thing I remember, it was the middle of the night, and we notice that the mouth is opening, the sharp-toothed mouth, and Thor comes tumbling out of the mouth of this large, well, yeah, rubbery-looking dragon thing.
There's all these Vikings around. It's kind of hard to tell, but I think they're all supposed to be women. It is kind of hard to tell from the artwork. And Thor spills out of the mouth of this thing and onto the ground, and we don't get a really sense of where he is, but the caption tells us anyway. The Faroe Islands in 894 AD. And Thor is remembering that he had just poured himself a large horn of mead. Then, of course, we get the credits page. Days of Wine and Dragons is the title of the story. Jason Aaron was the writer. Das Pastoras is the artist. VC's Joe Sabino is the letterer. Isad Rebic, of course, did the cover. John Moisson was the assistant editor. Lauren Sankovich was the editor. Axel Alonso is the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And Alan Fine is the executive producer. And, of course, we get a little, you know, recap, because we always get a little recap. Thor, the Asgardian god of thunder, originally came to Earth to find adventure wherever it may lurk. Much younger, much more foolish, and much drunker, the god of thunder traveled the nine realms looking for adventure. This time, it seems, trouble has found Thor instead. And again, a picture here of Thor riding on the back of a winged horse, which does not appear in the comic. Continuing on with the story, Thor is laying on the ground outside the mouth of this dragon, which is not moving, so it may be dead or something. Odin's whiskers! Tell me it's not me who smells like that.
Get him on his feet. He's covered in vomit. Some of it his, some of the dragon's.
Yes, I can see that.
Where am I? Is this Midgard? Since when does it spin like this? And who are...
Here, wipe thy face, Thunder God. I've something to give thee.
And his face is wiped off by some kind of cloth. And this blonde chick just comes up and plants one on Thor. And gives him a big old smooch. And everyone's shouting, "All hail Thor, Slayer of Dragons!" And we see, yeah, they're all, if not most, women. And Thor is covered in some sort of slime, which made... I don't think I'd want to kiss him either.
"All hail the son of Odin! You truly are a god who answers prayers."
"I am?"
"Is it really him?"
"I thought he had red hair."
"Yeah, and where's his magic hammer?"
"Tell these wenches not to mention the hammer. And remind your god of thunder, who are you people again?"
"I am Haldora, Grimkel's daughter, first among the widows of the Pharaohs, queen of the northern She-Vikings. I must confess, my lord, it was not I who prayed to you, but some among my shield maidens. Personally, I favored asking the mighty Sif for aid. But you have proven yourself a true god of gods here today. For my doubts, I do humbly beg your pardon."
"Usually I'm the one doing that," says Thor. "Your god's omnipotent is still be a bit hazy this morning. Tell me, woman, exactly how was it that Thor so bravely answered your prayers?"
"You found that beast who had tormented our village, that had eaten our dogs and burned our longships, and you felled it with your mighty axe, Yarnbjorn."
"I did? That somehow doesn't sound right."
"The Vikings of the Faroe Islands will forever sing songs of this day, my lord."
And we then get a little noise coming from this dragon. And the woman is continuing to praise Thor.
"The day the mighty Thor slew the fiercest of dragons."
"Perhaps you had best hold off on those songs."
And we then see that the dragon is still alive. And not only that, but he talks.
"Holy rotting fish guts. By all the gods, does my head ache."
"Spears! Kill the beast before it burns us all to ash!"
"Wait a minute. There's a damn axe in my face, isn't there? Thor, tell me this isn't yours." "The dragon. Searcher's flaming bones, it's all coming back to me." "Shield maidens, stand down!"
And the shield maidens are lunging forward with their spears to go kill the dragon.
"Scabgag! Your name is Scabgag, isn't it?" "Yes. Now will you pull this damn thing out?"
And Thor leaps up to Scabgag's face and grabs the axe and wrenches it out with a thock. And dragon's like, "Argh, son of a storm giant!"
"There's been a misunderstanding, ladies. Scabgag here wasn't the one who ate your dogs."
"Of course he was. Just look at him."
"No."
"The dragon has bewitched you, Lord Thor. Stand aside and let us finish killing it for you."
"I found Scabgag last night along the shore while I was following the trail of your dog-eaters, a trail that was not left by any dragon."
"I was minding my own business, eating some whales I'd caught. I don't even like dogs, certainly not enough to steal them."
"The dragon asked to aid my search. We continued on together, and after that, well, it's still a bit fuzzy."
"Suddenly I don't feel so good."
So you're telling me the unseen fiend who's been pillaging us for weeks is still out there, and we left our village undefended? She, Vikings, back to the boats!
No, we found them. I'm sure of it. I swear I remember killing someone.
And Thor is still kind of stumbling around, but his hands are bloody. And he gets this kind of image in his head, and he and the dragon are fighting against a horde of, well, they look a bit like trolls, actually.
Trolls. It was trolls, wasn't it? It might have been trolls. I seem to remember something about trolls, and the dragon pukes up, blarg, and in the puke that he just threw up is the head of a troll. And Thor's like, yes, see? It was definitely trolls.
I can't believe I ate one. Trolls are even more disgusting than dogs, says the dragon.
It was a pack of marauding trolls who pilfered your livestock and burned your ships, my ladies of the Pharaohs. We tracked them to their hideout in the cliff and felled the entire horde. And afterward, we discovered their stockpile of grog. Enough rancid liquor to fill a swamp. I thought it smelt of rotting horse, but this dragon dared me to drink it.
Yes, and then you wouldn't stop.
What about you? You gulped that swill by the barrelful and then blew fire at me, I seem to recall.
Was that before or after you buried your axe in my face?
I woke up inside your mouth, you fool.
Stop it, both of you. For a god and a dragon, you both act like prattling children. You are going to show me where you supposedly killed these trolls, and we are going to verify that this ridiculous story of yours is true. Every single part of it.
And yes, she's very stern, this warrior woman. And then we shift scenes and we see that Thor and the dragon have guided these Viking lasses to a cave. And the cave is full of, well, what else? A bunch of dead trolls. And we get a little bit of celebrating going on, and you know, they're cheering and howling, dragons blowing fire, I guess they're drinking and shit too. And we get a little bit of narration here. And lo, they did find the lair of the thieves, right where Thor had foretold it would be. And the trolls were indeed most good and truly dead. And the grog did definitely smell of rotting horse. Thus did Thor remain a god who answered prayers, so very many prayers. Thus was life on Midgard in the golden age of the gods. And we then shift scenes. The caption says 3 days later, and Thor is returning home to Asgard, tromping up the Rainbow Bridge, and he meets none other than the guardian of the Rainbow Bridge, Heimdall, who is looking a bit more swarthy in the last couple of years, though he doesn't look like Idris Elba.
Hell's unholy bells! Get thee to a bath, son of Odin! Thou art befouling the Rainbow Bridge with thy stench of dragon bile and troll inebriance. Behold the vaunted nose of Heimdall, the ever-vigilant, says Thor. Remember thy place, Thor. Thou art the god of thunder, not the god of debauchery. And thou art not the god of meddling in my affairs, gatekeeper. Stand aside. Thy royal father has been looking for thee for many days. My father is omnipotent. He must not have looked very hard. You should go to him and beg his mercy. Yes, of course. I will do so forthwith, good Heimdall, and with all the speed I can muster.
And Thor trudges up the Rainbow Bridge, and we see him then in his hall, apparently, as having collapsed on his bed. And he has a race car bed. Well, it's the Viking version of the race car bed, though it's not as cool as the Kirby ones, I have to say. And we shift scenes again, and we are back on Earth, apparently, and we see Skabgag, and he has returned to his lair, or his lake of fire, or whatever, wherever dragons live on Earth, and his father is there. And the father dragon's like,
you stink of humans! If you've been among them again, Skabgag, it had better have been to fill your belly with their flesh. Listen to you. Have you ever spoken to a human? No, you'd rather live in the long, long ago. I lived the way our kind have since the world was naught but oceans of fire. Yet you would defame our sacred legacy for a few cheap, drunken dalliances with the lowly.
How many times have I have to tell you I'm not like you, father?
No, you are most decidedly not, Skabgag. You are a disgrace to dragons everywhere. From this day forth, you are no offspring of mine.
Fine with me. To the hells with you. And Skavgar goes flying back off across the lakes of fire. And we shift scenes again, and it is 1 week later, and we are in the village of the Viking women. Though there's more than women here. I guess there's some men kind of sneaking around here, too.
Where is he? If he doesn't come, I say we burn his temple and build one to Loki.
We roasted an elk, brewed a cauldron of our finest mead, and have said our prayers while naked. He'll come.
And we hear a crack, toom, and we see a couple of goats in a chariot, and Thor come flying through.
Tooth gnasher, tooth grinder, faster, you miserable old goats. There be prayers to be answered and mead to be drunk.
And the chariot lands in the village, and Thor says, Hail, she Vikings of the Pharaohs, and be at ease. Your god of thunder has heard your humble prayers. But what has befallen this place? Have those damned trolls not learned their lesson?
It be not trolls this time.
Not trolls, you say?
And we see the kind of camera angle shifts, and we see a giant dragon kind of sleeping in the background. Of course, that's Skabgag.
He came out of the sky 3 days ago, covered in his own filth, too drunk to fly straight. He demanded that we have another party, and proceeded to drink all of our liquor, and our entire winter supply of dried fish, and set half the village ablaze with his fiery belches. I'd wager that that gut of his is filled with enough ale, mead, and Rhineland wine to drown a full-grown frost giant. We'd been hoping that he would eventually drink his fill, or at least pass out, but then this morning he grabbed up poor Gudrid.
Odd's blood, says Thor. And we see that the dragon has a woman in his claws who doesn't look like she's very much alive or anything.
I know the beast is your friend, and that is why we called for you. And that is the only reason he hasn't already been skewered on our spears.
Friend? I hardly know the creature, says Thor.
Either you deal with this, my lord, or we will. But either way, the dragon must pay for what he's done.
And Thor goes and shouts at the dragon,
Skabgag!
Thor, Thor, my friend, finally you've arrived. Now the reveling can truly begin, though it seems someone has drank all the mead.
This ends now, Skabgag. Surrender yourself. I do not wish to harm you.
Harm me? No one's getting harmed, old friend. We're just having fun is all, just as we did before. Right, Gudrid? Gudrid, wake up. I keep shaking her, but she won't wake up.
Last warning, dragon. Put the woman down.
And Skabagay is like,
You smell so strange, Gudrid. You make me feel as if I haven't eaten anything in so very long.
And he takes a big old bite out of Gudrid, takes her whole head off, her whole top of her off, with a shrunk. And that pisses Thor off, and he goes attacking the dragon with its axe.
Huh.
What do you know? Father was right all along.
And Thor is slashing at the dragon with his axe, and Skabgag is like,
Gah! Again with the axe! Thor, stop this madness! What's come over you? You're my best friend!
Thor is not your friend. Thor would never be friends with such a foul creature as you. Now stand down or die, dragon.
Not my friend. Why would you say that? And Thor is still attacking with a garg. If you're not my friend, then I think you should leave my party.
And he grabs Thor up in his mouth and he goes flying off. And we get to see this kind of the shape of the dragon for the first time. And he's got this really large head. And you know, I don't know. It just is kind of a weird shape, but I guess it's all right. And the dragon is carrying Thor away, and we see that the village is burning, and the dragon is saying,
Ha! Admit it! You're having fun now, aren't you, God of Thunder?
You're mad! You're gonna kill us both, you drunken fool!
Nonsense! I've been flying since before you were.
The trees! Watch out for the...
And we get a big old skrunk as the dragon becomes a tree murderer. Yes, we have tree murder in this issue, folks. The dragon is kind of laying among the broken trees. He's like,
That wasn't my fault.
I only wanted to have some fun.
I'd say you've had quite enough, says Thor, and he gives the dragon a big old punch in the jaw with a wham.
Oh, don't do that. You're going to make me...
And he kind of opens his mouth and goes, barg. And it's not throwing up. He's shooting fire at Thor, causing lots of these trees to burn.
This isn't right. I would never hurt anyone. I'm not a monster. I would never...
And he goes, grarg, as he tries to chomp at Thor. And misses. And Thor manages to dodge out of the way.
Skabgag, listen to me. I misspoke before out of anger. I am your friend. And as your friend, I beg of you one last time. Stop this before someone else gets hurt. Most likely you.
I know what you're doing. You're judging me, aren't you? You gods, always so judgmental.
Skabgag, for the love of...
Yes, I am Skabgag. I am Skabgag the dragon, son of the winged vipers from the mountains of fire, who ate the flesh of the first man, and were ancient when this world was not but oceans of fire. I am brother to Nidhogg, the eater of the tree, and Jormungand, the Midgard serpent, who is destined to be your doom come the day of Ragnarok. I refuse to be judged by the likes of you, little Asgardian.
By you or any other damn god.
So be it, dragon. Have at me, then.
And the dragon attacks Thor with a grrrr. And Thor's just kind of standing there. And we shift scenes, and the caption says hours later, and Thor's sitting on a broken tree, and his axe is kind of stuck in the tree beside him. And Thor looks a little bit forlorn. You know, he doesn't look real happy. He looks kind of sad. And a hand approaches from behind him and hands him a horn of ale or something. And a voice is saying,
I'm guessing you could use this. This wasn't your fault, my lord. You did what had to be done. You saved the lives of many. Come, join us in the village you helped save. We will drink and sing songs of your most masculine exploits. We will dine like gods and Vikings.
And Thor's kind of looking at the glass, and he pours it out. And he says,
perhaps some other night, m'lady. Tooth gnasher, tooth grinder, come. Let's go home.
And the last page we see Thor, he's flying off with his goats hauling his chariot. And looking back behind him, we can see the Vikings are burning the body of the dead dragon. And it's a very unhappy ending, isn't it? And we have a next issue blurb. Next issue, The Last Days of Midgard. And that is Thor, God of Thunder, number 18. And of course, as always, we do have a few words to say about it. But first, we have a very important message.
You like cheap comic books, right? Well, I'm Professor Allen. And I talk about cheap comic books on the Quarterbin Podcast. In every episode, I'll dissect a single comic from my collection, as long as I paid no more than 25 cents for the issue. Forget about $4 new comics that you can read in 4 minutes, or crossover events that can cost $100 to collect. Join me in the Quarterbin, where even bad comics are a bargain, and good ones are a steal. The Quarterbin Podcast is part of the Relatively Geeky Podcast Network. Visit us at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com or search Relatively Geeky or Quarterbin Podcast in iTunes. I guarantee it'll be worth every penny.
And we are back. And of course, I do have a few words to say about the issue, as always. Very clearly, this issue is a piece of filler. And it's designed to round out that 6 issues of story so that you can have your trade paperback collection. I'm okay with that as a matter of principle, as long as the one-off story is good. I have no problem with one-off stories. I have no problem with a story like this one that doesn't affect Thor or his world in any way whatsoever. You know, there's not going to be any lasting repercussions of the story. Probably. I mean, they'd be kind of silly if they tried to make this have repercussions. But it definitely is a fluffy piece of work. There's nothing really meaty here to get into. We do have a common theme that's not very well explored, and that is the daddy issues that both Skabgag the dragon and Thor have. We have both of them
in a state of rebellion from their father. Scabgag is more your typical whiny teenager. It's like, I'm going to do my own thing. You just don't understand me. And Thor is just sort of, I don't know, just disdainful of his father's influence. And again, you know, they kind of have this commonality between the, you know, Scabgag and Thor and their daddy issues. But that's all that this story really has. There's really nothing more to it. Now, art-wise, I have to say, I like this artist. This artist is, I would say, a unique style. It is heavily reminiscent of the work of Barry Windsor Smith. Certainly Barry Windsor Smith in the early 70s when he was first drawing Conan. This artist, Das Pastoris, is interesting enough because apparently, you know, this artist did all of the art, and including all the color as well. There's no colorist credit on this issue, and it looks as though to me that most of it is done in watercolor and colored pencil. It's an interesting experiment, and a lot of the book looks really good. There's a few things that I don't like about this guy's style. One is the way he draws faces. There's some really grotesque, even ape-like faces. Thor, in particular, we get a, you know, when Heimdall is kind of chewing out Thor, we get another kind of grotesque face on him. He does also have a few issues with anatomy. And I'm kind of noticing in particular where Thor is confronting the Shield Maidens for the first time, and his arms are getting bigger and smaller and bigger and smaller, kind of very inconsistency. It's kind of like we were talking about with Thor's jaw getting bigger and smaller some episodes ago. We do have a little bit of inconsistency in the art. Like I said, very, very reminiscent of the work of Barry Windsor Smith. And that's not by itself a bad thing. The design of the dragon is a little bit annoying. I kind of get what they're going for here. I think they're trying to make the dragons look like the dragons you would see on the edge of medieval manuscripts, and in particular maps where you have, you know, the unknown world, and they would just stick a picture of a dragon there. And that's kind of what this dragon looks like. And I think that's kind of what they were going for. Unfortunately, it's kind of a clunky design. And it just makes for kind of a doofy looking dragon, and I don't really care for it. Even the father dragon, who has more horns and you know, pokey bits and stuff, still kind of looks dumb. I do think that I actually prefer the Esad Ribic version, as we see on the cover. Though on the cover he also looks kind of rubbery. They use the same basic design, but kind of did it a little bit better, and you got a little bit of a glow on the cover, like the dragon is going to breathe fire on Thor. Obviously, Ribic being very, very influenced by Frank Frazetta, and I think I pointed this out last issue too, which I think is just maybe Ribic is going through his Frazetta phase at the moment. Okay, and with that, it is about time to wrap up the show for this week, folks. Thanks very much for listening. 150 episodes. Wow. And once again, you can email the show if you want to. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. You should also feel free to join us over on Facebook, the Radio Free Asgard Facebook group. Just have a look for us there, and you will find us. So it is once again back down the Bifrost, sliding down like a giant water slide into the ocean. And we will see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is the property of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor, his supporting cast, and the various stories that we feature on the show are copyright Marvel Comics and are presented for review and educational purposes, and we hope you find them entertaining as well. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elvesmith, are copyright Motzvent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll tell your friends, or leave us an iTunes review, or even join our Facebook group. We do love hearing from our listeners. And if you didn't like it, well, oh well, we'll try to do better next time. Once again, thank you very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.